The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or consistent, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt. February 22nd, 2021. So good to be with you. I am 65 years young today and looking for my vaccine shot. I get to go out with the huddled masses of America and go from CVS to hospital to Disneyland. I guess they've got a big place there. They've got a system in Southern California that's a magic box. You put your information into it, and then they tell you where to show up, but then everyone tells me the magic box doesn't work. So I'll be spending the rest of the day looking for a vaccine. Good Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Good news on the virus front. Very, very, very good news on the virus front. Here in the United States, we have now got 63 million vaccines administered. At least 43,628,000 people have got one. There's quite a lot of resistance and immunity that is conferred with one, if not immunity, at least the ability not to get that sick when it does hit you a second time. And in Great Britain, where they're ahead of us on the curve like Israel, they've announced a 4-month transition back to normalcy, the long-awaited reopening roadmap, and they are going to open schools on March 8th, every school in every part of the country, in every grade, and all school sports will be back in a week. So I'd like to suggest to you, if they can do it in Great Britain, can't we do it in the United States? In the New York Times, on the post-pandemic horizon, could that be a boom? Signs of economic life are picking up. Mounds of cash are waiting to be spent as the virus loosens its grip. Indeed, there's a very funny editorial in the Wall Street Journal today about the money supply and how it is enormous. The largest money supply since 1943. Since February 2020, 1 year ago, the M2 supply has increased 26%. According to the journal. That's the largest one-year jump since 1943, and they show the Stay Puft Man in green walking through New York, if you ever watched Ghostbusters. The White House is backing away from its ridiculous stance on not opening schools because they're getting hammered. Other stories of interest, China's state broadcasters applied to France for the right to air in Europe after they got thrown off the air in Great Britain. The answer should be no, and the explanation should be genocide. Saturday Night Live is under fire for the first time in the Biden era for a quote joke. Michael Che said this, cut number 10.
Israel is reporting that they vaccinated half of their population. And I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half.
You see, that's not anti-Semitic at all, is it? That's completely anti-Semitic. And, you know, I just can't believe, I don't know who writes the jokes. The weekend news people usually write their own stuff, but we don't know for sure. But a whole bunch of producers and associate producers and management saw the script. None of them knew that's anti-Semitic. What is wrong at Saturday Night Live? Fred Hyatt, a colleague and titular boss at the Washington Post, has written a great opinion piece. If it will put this man in jail, China will stop at nothing. It talks about Martin Lee, who's persecuted by China, and he's right. Fred is right. China will stop at nothing. And then a famous black hole gets a massive update. This is something I've been studying a long time. Cygnus X1 is much weightier than expected. So I want you to think about that. Now, I've got a piece, it's my birthday piece, in the Post this morning. It's in the print edition and online. Begins WWTLD, what would Ted Lasso do? And some of you aren't going to agree with this, so you can call it 1-800-520-1234. What would Ted Lasso do with Neera Tanden's nomination to become director of the Office of Management and Budget? Apple TV's first big hit has attracted fans because of a rare, in these times, combination of Ernest Awshuck's dialogue and relentless good cheer. No spoilers here, but Lasso is Major League meets Bend It Like Beckham, and it's become an unexpected smash hit because it is anchored in, wait for it, forgiveness. Millions are clapping. They may not know why, but it is because forgiveness is inspiring. Almost everyone gets dealt mercy by Ted Lasso, deserved or not. Neera Tanden, head of the Liberal Center for American Progress, is a lawyer, activist, former senior Hillary Clinton aide, ubiquitous presence on cable television and Twitter. Because Tanden is smart, funny, and quick, she's capable of leaving a mark, I write. And I know I have more Tanden-inflicted scars than all the villains in all the Zorro movies and television series combined. She has displayed the same cutting ruthlessness, I write on Twitter, as she has on cable TV sets, which is to be expected. She's a serious left liberal, though not as far to the left as Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, so she's left some mark on Team Sanders as well. She should also be confirmed as OMB director. All political people, especially senators, should live with the same rules of political debate as the rest of us. They should not get to use their confirmation powers to protect themselves from online criticism, however hurtful. Everyone draws the line at threats. But Tanden has just been clobbering people the old-fashioned way with words. By 19th century standards, actually, she's pretty tame. More to the point, it's the 21st century. Online and television and radio barbs are part of freedom's fray. Which brings us back to Ted Lasso and the Constitution. Lasso's an old American football coach hired to lead a mediocre British soccer team, and he embodies a cross-section of old-school virtues and out-of-place witticisms in this postmodern world. The success of the show is an argument that more Lassoian temperament would serve us all well, including don't take yourself so seriously. Now, Tanden's decidedly non-toned-down past has put her nomination in peril. Senator Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat, announced Friday he would not support Tanden, citing her overtly partisan statements and consequent toxic and detrimental impact on her ability to work with Congress. Tanden has apologized for her tart language. Senators, not just Manchin, but also Republicans, should accept that and move forward. Confirm her. It would be one thing if she were being nominated for a lifetime appointment for the federal bench. Then the higher standard applies, and judicial temperament is part of the equation there. But that test doesn't apply to executive branch officials. Presidents are entitled to great deference in how they assemble their cabinet. Now, Trump didn't get that, but we ought to get it back. New presidents who have 4 years to succeed deserve their team in place. Absent some disqualifying personal flaw, and I'm thinking of addiction here, there are exceptions to every rule, but mean tweets doesn't even come close. It's especially true of the Office of Management and Budget, which is almost an extension of the president's staff. Now, you might have a different rule for Secretary of State, Defense, and Justice, but OMB is basically on the right hand of the president and deals with them all day long. Now, if we disqualify everyone who's done mean tweets, the most effective of the pugilists online, it's going to rebound against both parties. The younger generation is full of Twitter addicts who approach debate like the locker room on Ted Lasso's AFC Richmond. So senators should remember there will be another GOP precedent, and they will want that president to get their nominee. The GOP may get played here, but they ought to stand up and just say, okay, amnesty, ollie ollie and free. We're just going to all grow up here and urge people to stop being bozos online, but we're going to vote to confirm Neera. That's my opinion. What's your 1-800-520-1234? Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. The fact is, the internet never forgets. There has never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, your digital data. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. Everything you search for, watch, or click online can be tracked back to you by big tech companies, and they do it. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. That's why you need to switch, and I switch, to ExpressVPN. On your computer, on your phone, every IP address is masked by a secure VPN server, which makes it harder for websites to identify me. Plus, you can use ExpressVPN on up to 5 devices simultaneously. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies. Go with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. Oh, my gosh. My staff has turned on me. Instead of playing Happy Birthday, they're playing Neil Young's Old Man. Honest to goodness. What a bunch of turncoats. It's mutiny. Good morning, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Let me check the markets, brought to you by Birch Gold. You can buy gold if you want to have an inflation hedge. Like I say, that money supply, 23%, yep, year over year in the Wall Street Journal. And gold this morning is at $1,795, up 1%. Now, I didn't buy gold this year like I did last year. Did that last year. Got a letter over the last 5 days that I was too concentrated in Amazon, which is not surprising since I only own one stock. I own mutual funds, and because I'm not smart enough to buy stocks. But they said you need to, and I listen to compliance people. They say, look, we really think you're overweighted, which isn't surprising since I have one stock. So I'm always honest with you. I bought Bumble, which is an online dating app that went public last week. I bought DraftKings because of the millennials' habit for wagering online. I bought Palantir because I've met Peter Thiel and had dinner with him, and he's like Elon Musk smart, and all the government is using it. So I assume the rest of the world will be using it before long. It's a data aggregation analysis software. So I now own four stocks, gold, mutual funds, and real estate. That's my diversification. Part of it is gold. And I bought gold from Birch Gold, which you can find at hughgold.com, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. I don't own it in my retirement funds. A lot of you do. I own it in the real thing in the safety deposit box. I just buy the ounces when I feel like it and add to it over the years. And it sits there, and it goes up and down, and I don't care. I'm never going to sell it. It's going to go to the grandkids, right? They're going to open up and they're say, oh, Baba left us this, and Mom and Dad's going to get all the money, but they're going to get the gold. And it's just runaway money. It's against inflation, and you ought to have some. Text my name, Hugh, to 474747, or go online if you don't got cash and you want to roll over part of your 401, 10%, or your IRA. Go to hughgold.com. They'll send you the information. Right now, the 10-year treasury is at 1.34%, which is a pretty significant bump over the weekend. Gold went up 1%. Overseas, England and Germany are down about 0.5%. Don't know what's going to happen today. On Friday, the Dow was up 0.98%. The NASDAQ was up 9 points, which is something. Not 9%. Dow was up 0.98 points. NASDAQ was up 9 points, and the S&P was down 7. So it was a very slow day on Friday. But we don't know what's going to happen today. I just know you need to be protected against everything. 1-800-520-1234. Now, a lot of you people are saying, why in the world does Hugh Hewitt want the Republican senators to vote for Neera Tanden? She is a partisan lefty. And she is. And OMB is an important place. It's very close to the president, but it's usually held. Mick Mulvaney was confirmed for that. Probably the most conservative member of Donald Trump's cabinet. Mike Pompeo was very conservative. He did national security at the CIA and State Department. But the most conservative member of the cabinet, the only member of the Freedom Caucus who went into the Trump administration was Mick Mulvaney, and he went to OMB. And Neera Tanden is from the Center for American Progress. He's very liberal. And I wrote the piece in the Washington Post. It's in the print edition today. And the reason I did that, very simple. I want the president of the United States, this one and in the future, to get their nominees confirmed. They have a right to their team. And the objection to Neera Tanden, and Joe Manchin came out on Friday and said this. I wrote a few of my buddies in the GOP caucus. I have a few senators with whom I'm on a friendly enough basis to send a note. And I said, hey, folks, you really ought to vote for Neera Tanden. Get together as a group, go out and declare amnesty. And maybe going forward, tell people, look, we let Rick Grenell through and he did mean tweets. And we're letting Neera Tanden through and she did mean tweets. But we're saying from now on, just tone it down on Twitter. No vulgarity, no. But they didn't use vulgarity or profanity, either of them, by the way. They were just sharp-edged, sharp teeth, sharp elbows. And it's time for sharp people to agree that what's past is past. Let's get back to the normal. You get your people, unless they're drunks, addicts, or have swindled people or beaten spouses. 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Give me a call.
Can you imagine that slice of time? Rock and roll was young people's student line. To hear music that played into their lives. The truth could carry till the day you die. Hey, man, sing me a song.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. I've just been reading the Telegraph. And Boris Johnson is having a press conference today at 7 p.m. after he addresses the Commons at 3:30 p.m. to alert them to schools reopening on March 8th. And it rolls out. It's all laid out, four steps. And they're starting with schools. And they believe cases will be down to below 1,000 a day by April 7. They believe there's quite a lot of immunity building up. The share of people in England with antibodies has risen dramatically. It's up to 1 in 5 people now, which is itself slowing down the virus. New therapies. They've got to get kids back to school. And they are being honest, unlike a lot of our teachers, unions. The White House on Sunday reiterated that teachers do not need to be vaccinated against coronavirus before schools can reopen. A stance Biden officials say is in line with scientific guidelines. Yes, it is, but that's not the line they took earlier last week. White House officials had for weeks been giving conflicting answers about when teachers could go back to work. And so Tony Fauci went out yesterday and gave a bunch of answers. And let's play them. First of all, he's not easy to nail down. He's on with Dana Bash. Cut number 3.
You know, I mean, obviously, if it's a very difficult situation to get an absolute definitive answer. What the CDC has tried to do is look at the risks that you have and try, if you follow the CDC guidelines, to get the children back in school, at least with hybrid, and maybe even when you actually have an increased spacing with them, that you can get it in what's called a decreased capacity. If you do the 4 or 5 things that the CDC recommends, the bottom line goal that I think people need to remember is that, and I've said this way before the CDC guidelines came out, that the default position is to do whatever you can, as best as you can, to get the children back to school with safety concerns for the children and for the teachers and the educational personnel. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what the president is talking about getting those K-12 schools open within the first 100 days. And that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Now, look, it would be so refreshing, Tony. Just say, open the schools. My friends out there, you all know what the best practices are. Open the schools. Open the schools. Open the schools. Instead, he goes on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And again, he's just trying to make sense out of that. The Biden administration's had so many positions on this. It's like the Joker wearing suits. Cut number 6.
No, Chris, I mean, if you want to parse words, I was listening very carefully. What Vice President Harris said, it should be a priority. She did not say it's a sine qua non that unless you get vaccinated, you cannot come into the school and teach. So what we're saying, and let me state it clearly, because I believe strongly that it is completely compatible with both with what Dr. Walensky said and what the vice president said, is that clearly we want to make the vaccination of teachers a high priority. They are within the essential personnel in society, and we want that priority to be high. What I have said, and I'll say it again today, it should not be a sine qua non. In other words, you cannot go into the school unless you're vaccinated. We're not saying that. We're saying we're doing whatever we can to protect the safety of the children and the teachers. But it is not a requirement. It's a priority, but it's not a requirement for the teachers to get back into school.
You know, it's just so much easier to say open the schools. Don't tell people what it's a rule number one of communications. Don't tell people what you're not saying. That's just trying to hedge yourself against criticism that are coming anyway. Don't tell people what you aren't saying. Tell people what you're saying. Open the schools. One more shot of Dr. Fauci with Dana Bash, cut number 2 on masks.
Why do you think Americans might have to wear masks into 2022?
You know, because it depends on the level of dynamics of virus that's in the community. And that's really important because that gets back to something, again, that you said. If you see the level coming down really, really very low, I want it to keep going down to a baseline that's so low that there's virtually no threat, or not no, it'll never be zero, but a minimal threat that you will be exposed to someone who is infected. So if you combine getting most of the people in the country vaccinated with getting the level of virus in the community very, very low, then I believe you're going to be able to say, you know, for the most part, we don't necessarily have to wear masks. But if we have a level of virus that is at that level that it was months and months ago, like 20,000 per day is a heck of a lot better than what it's been. But that's still very high level of virus in the community. I want to see it go way down. When it goes way down.
My advice to I love Tony Fauci. I'm one of the Tony Fauci admirers. I enjoyed it when he was on the show at the very beginning of this thing. My advice is swap out the whole team. Get a brand new set of doctors. Start over and have someone walk out and say, our first bit of advice is schools reopen. The damage being done to students is so great, so massive, and we've got a handle on this thing now. Wear some masks in school. Teachers, minimize your risk. And if, by all means, if you are a teacher over the age of 60, don't go back. Maybe over the age of 50. Scramble around, bring some high, but get it open. These kids have got to go back to school. And not just K through 3, though that's obvious. K through 12. Look at Great Britain, March 8th. They're doing it March 8th. Everybody, all in free. And that is finally some good news. Jen Psaki, by the way, White House press secretary, they're trying to get away from Andrew Cuomo as the scandal engulfs New York State. The guy who wrote the book on how to handle the virus actually has another book out on how to hide the mortuaries, keep the morgues hidden. Cut number one.
Well, John, we work with Governor Cuomo just like we work with governors across the country. He's also chair of the NGA. So he plays an important role in ensuring that we're coordinating closely and getting assistance out to people of his state and to states across the country. And we'll continue to do that. And there, of course, will be a process. The investigations will leave that to others to determine, the appropriate law enforcement authorities to determine how that path is going to move as we look forward. But we are going to continue to work with a range of governors, including, of course, Governor Cuomo, because we think the people of New York, the people of states across the country need assistance, not just to get through the pandemic, but to get through this difficult economic time. And that's where our focus remains.
All right. But Jen, my question was, does President Biden still believe that Andrew Cuomo is the gold standard, represents the gold standard on leadership during this pandemic? Just a yes or no.
Does he well, focus John, on the gold president, standard? The president, it doesn't always have to be a yes or no answer, John. I think the president is focused on his goal, his objectives as president of the United States. He's going to continue to work with Governor Cuomo, just like he'll continue to work with governors across the country. And I'm not here to give new labels or names from the president. I'm here to communicate with you about what our focuses are and what his objectives are as president.
So she actually didn't answer that question because no one can say he's the gold standard. He's facing indictment, actually. Randy Weingarten, who is more responsible for shuttered schools in the United States, she is the American Federation of Teachers president, was on with Chuck Todd yesterday, and this should give you a shudder. Cut number eight.
Yes, there's no perfect solution, but frankly, I think that New York City has done a pretty good job in terms of showing the way. Big school district. Lots of issues in terms of old buildings. And we learned a lot from what New York City did in September and October. And in fact, my members, I just did a survey of my membership, and 85% have said that they would be comfortable being in school if they had the kind of testing, layered mitigation, like, you know, and vaccine prioritization. And that's what New York City is doing. So I want to actually lift up people like Washington, D.C. The mayor actually made sure that every teacher and school employee that wanted the vaccine got vaccinated in the last few weeks. Same in terms of the Oregon governor, same in terms of the West Virginia governor, same in terms of the Ohio governor. And so when I hear politicians, when I hear Governor Newsom saying, you're always going to find a way out, well, why is he not actually prioritizing the teachers in L.A., where they've been in purple zone, not in red zone. So where I think the issue is, if the NFL could figure out how to do this in terms of testing and the protocols, if schools are that important, let's do it. And my members want it. They just want to be safe.
That, by the way, is just nonsense, utter nonsense. Open the schools. Doesn't matter what any other state has done. Look at Chicago. Look at these kids who are, their morbidities are going off the roof. The suicide numbers are off the roof. It is crazy for teacher union people to stand out there and try and say they are other than the complete and utter failure that they are. They have stood in the way of children getting back to school. You don't need the vaccine. It's nice to get the vaccine. I don't think it's a higher priority for teachers under 50 than people over 65. I don't think it's a higher priority at all. I think teachers don't want to go back to work, and they don't want to do it, and they're using it for leverage and other things. And it's just, to me, the most amazing. By the way, I love teachers, and I don't have to prove that to people. I've done that for years. It isn't the teachers. It's their unions. The absolute indifference of the unions to the health of children is pretty astonishing to me. And it's just not going to change. I am not going to change that. When we come back, I've got to play for you a Margaret Brennan Face the Nation thing that offended me yesterday. And then next hour, we'll go back to Neera Tanden on the hopes that some senators are driving to work today. And they're thinking about, we just can't keep playing this gotcha game on Twitter, or no one is ever going to get confirmed again for anything. Selena Zito is next, America. Checking in with Yinzer Town on my birthday. No presents are allowed. Go buy yourself Grant, though. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Who knew there was a town named New Alexandria in Pennsylvania? Old Alexandria in the United States is in Virginia, and I guess real old Alexandria is in Egypt. But New Alexandria is in Pennsylvania, and my guest, Selena Zito, who is here with the Yinzer Report, has been there. Good morning, Selena. Good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you. It's snowing once again here in lovely western Pennsylvania, which it does every day.
Well, where is New Alexandria? I know where Route 22 is, but I don't really know where New Alexandria is.
So it's a halfway point between Pittsburgh and Johnstown.
All right.
And it's this tiny little town. It's actually on old Route 22, and when they bypassed it, they pretty much killed the town, sort of like the Bates Motel, only not scary.
It's not scary, except you got a pretty big gun store there, Bullseye Firearms Gun Vault. So this is a pretty traditional column, but it's always useful to know, what does the gun store owner see? Tell us about it.
Well, what's really interesting, here's the gun store that I focused on, but I went to over 2,000 gun stores. And what through all of 2020, we saw people read the reports, the surge in gun sales, but also the surge in new gun owners. Well, that has not gone away. In fact, it picked up so much in 1 month, it broke all records that were all broken last year in terms of new gunner ownership and in the sale of guns. And what that has done, as we talked about last year, has strained the supply of guns, but it's also continued to strain the supply of ammunition. But what's really interesting to me is the amount of women that continue to outpace men in purchasing guns, in being new gun owners, and being out in the range and learning how to shoot and taking lessons. That and African Americans are the big surge right now in people that are, becoming new gun owners. But also what I think is even more fascinating is how much they now recognize the importance of the Second Amendment, something that many of them that I interviewed had never really even considered and sort of laughed at in previous years.
Now, the FBI, you quote, as having reported 4.3 million gun background checks in January alone. So that's 4.3 million purchases. And here's the macro fact. Your gun store owner usually has 800 in stock. He's down to 300 weapons. And so that is quite a run on inventory.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And what's really interesting is that he said, he's the grandson of a pretty famous gun dealer around Western Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, around this area. And, you know, so that he kept a good stock of used guns on hand. People love to, you know, buy an old gun, you know, trade it in for a new one, antique guns, that kind of thing. And he's just down to nobody's getting rid of a used gun. No one.
And he says that the manufacturer distributor calls up their, quote, special list, and they say, this is what we have for you today. It's take it or leave it. It's sort of like a car dealership when a hot model shows up. You say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that. Luckily, Nathan is one because of his family's long relationship with gun manufacturers. He's on those lists. So he's actually pretty, even considering the times, he's pretty well stocked.
And, I'll just close by saying this. So it's because, right, the new surge is because the Democrats won the Senate. So they assume that there is a likelihood of gun control, although Joe Manchin is never going to vote for gun control. So they're never going to get 50, much less 60 votes out of the United States Senate for a new gun control measure. Nevertheless, people see all Democrats and they worry about administrative actions.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And you even talked to a lot of Democrats in there. I think they were most concerned about President Biden saying last Sunday, that he was going to make gun control a priority.
He said he's going to make a lot of things a priority, right? Like getting the schools open. That's the number one priority that isn't happening. And I think that I'm not going to worry about his number 10 priority, which is his number one priority, until after he gets the schools open. Selena Zito, thank you, my friend. All things Selena Zito are there. If you subscribe at Selena Zito, do you get all your columns?
You do. They're free, they're fun, and they're not fattening.
And they send it right to you. So if you love what Selena does, go over to selenazito.com. Come back next hour. It's our regular Monday show. We got a lot ahead today, a lot of good fun, because Jake Sherman's along. Michael Walsh is coming in. Dan Balls is going to celebrate with me today, my birthday. I think Dan's been working at this as long as I have. Josh Kroshaw, we got a lot ahead, America. 1-800-520-1234. If you know where to get vaccines in Southern California, you can also send me an email, hewitt@hughhewitt.com. I have no idea. I'll figure it out. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.